One on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to Crick Info Talk. I'm Siddhartha Vaidyanathan, and along with my colleague Nagaraj Golapuri, caught up with India's one-day captain MS Dhoni. We discussed a wide variety of issues, including captaincy and his own change of personality over the last 2 years. In the first part of the interview, I started off by asking Dhoni about the time he took over captaincy back in England last year, and when he had said that it was not about captaining but about playing. I asked him if he still maintained that view.
Yeah, I still believe in that. One of my theories is to be captain on the field and off the field, totally enjoy cricket, enjoy each other's company and all those sorts of things. Most of the times I don't discuss about cricket off the field. That's one of the things. And by captainship, of course, you will take vital decisions, and you know, your thinking or decisions can have a big impact on the game, but a lot depends on the individuals, you know, whom you are selecting to give the job to. That's why I've said it in the past, you know, like, captain is a guy who accumulates all the pressure and he channelizes it to different individuals, you know, gives it to bowler or all-rounders or batsmen. So basically he's one guy who recognizes all the difficult things in the game as the game progresses and distributes it among others. Basically he's a selfish guy in the sense he doesn't do all the work, he just chooses or picks up guys who will do the job for him. So it's very important to motivate others who will do loads of job for him. It can be bowlers, it can be batsmen. Of course, for me, fielding and running with pin is two things that I consider is very important. So for that, you need motivation. You motivate the guys, what they are doing and how much of an effect it will make in the game. So I was very glad to see the team, you know, field or run in the way they did throughout the series. Even when they got out for a cheap total or a low score, still the fielding was good and you know the running between was great. So the emphasis was there, and of course they reacted in a great way, and that's what I wanted. You know, it was not about winning all the games. It was not like if you lose you get demoralized and all those sorts of stuff. You know, personally I think one of the best achievements of this tournament, you can say, was the dressing room's atmosphere. You know, it was very calm and cool throughout. You know, even when we lost the first 2020 game, it was quite the same till the last win. That's very important to get that balance, you know, because you are playing a game in which you can't control everything. But if your dressing room atmosphere is great, then what you can do is most of the times you'll get the favorable results. So that was very important, and I was actually marking it, you know, how it goes. And of course, a bit of disappointment will always be there, and a bit of extra excitement will be there when you win. But if it's calm and cool, it's great. There are more chances of you and your team being successful, especially guys who have not played at the international level too much. When they see a relaxed dressing room, you know, that's what speaks in their mind.
You speak so, as an experienced campaigner in terms of captaincy, you seem to have a real pulse of what's going on. Where do you get this whole process, decision-making process? What do you fall back on? Because
frankly speaking, I was never a captain. In the sense, nobody made me the captain. The school also, and I used to score regularly, but I think they were quite afraid of my temperament or something, and they never made me the captain. Because I was very aggressive on the guys who were, you know, not really 100% on the field. And in one of the Hayman Trophy games, it's a senior district game, you know, we were playing against a comparatively weak side on the matting wicket, and you know, there were guys who dropped catches and were laughing around and all those stuff. So I said, okay, I'm bowling. I called all the 3-4 guys. All of them, I said, okay, you stand in mid wicket and you do the talking. I will manage with 6 other guys, whoever is on the field. You know, in a way, I was very different, and I believe in giving more than 100% on the field. And I don't really worry about the result if there's great commitment on the field. And I think that's victory for me. So after that, I don't think I captained much. Got selected for the first class team and started playing for our Ranji Trophy team, of course, my state, and then the other Ranji Trophy. But yeah, I was never the captain, and you know, T20 was my, you can say, first opportunity.
Instinctively, have you been captain always in your mind, even when you were not at a young, from a young age, when you were, even when it comes to decision making process on or off the field?
Not really. It came to me quite late, you know. Till 10th or 11th standard, I was quite a, you can say, I won't really go up front and say things, and I used to wait and watch. But when I started playing cricket at different levels, like, you know, Dilip Trophy or first class, and you know, being the wicket keeper, you always are in a position where the captain comes up to you and asks different things. So, you know, in a way, it goes on in your subconscious mind. So, I think being a wicketkeeper really helped me more than anything else. You know, whether any other guy was the captain, whether I was playing under Saurav Ganguly or I was playing under Rahul Dravid or any other guy, you know, I was, whatever was in my mind, I used to speak. Whatever I felt from behind, I used to speak, you know. I never used to go by the motion or whatever the skipper said. You know, I used to say whatever I felt right, you know. At times I was wrong also, but whatever I felt, I used to say. Or if I was not sure, I won't really answer, you know. I don't really believe in confusing the captain more. So I was pretty clear about my thoughts, and I think it came to me gradually from behind the stumps, you know, watching the game, how it progresses and how it played in different you know, places and different parts of the world. You know, when I started my international career, major part of the first few years was in India. So from behind the stumps, you know, in India you have to make quite a few bowling changes and all, because at times when there's partnership going on and the wickets are flat and when you are playing with four bowlers, then, you know, it gets tough for the skipper, and that's the time from behind when you decide, okay, maybe if Viru is playing, Viru can bowl or Yuvraj. Because being a keeper, you read the wicket well. So I think that really helped me more than anything else.
It's strange you say that, right? Because in the history of cricket, there have not been that many successful wicketkeeper captains. I can think of Alex Stewart recently, who has probably done it first. And even somebody like Mark Taylor, who was a really good captain, said that, you know, it becomes very a laborious process for the wicketkeeper, because his job is so tough, in first of all, that to think about everything. You worked it to your advantage.
I think, you know, more than being a successful captain, I think I've got a successful team, you know, who wants to go out there, who wants to enjoy cricket as a sport, who wants to give more than their 100%, you know, dive around on the field, and who look, you know, most of the guys, or I think almost every guy looks to stop that ball. They take everything as a challenge, whether it's fielding, whether it's bowling, batting or anything, you know, off the field activities and everything. And I personally believe it's not about the captain, because once in a while you take a decision that has a big impact. But it's more about the individual, you know, more about the team, how they respond to you and what kind of relationship you have with your team. So I think, you know, every guy, you know, whatever responsibility I've given to any of the individuals, they responded in a great way. And that's what helped me, you know, whether it was Gautam Gambhir, whether it was Rohit Sharma, Irfan Pathan, Piyush Chawla, any of the guys. You just pick up the guys and the way they are performing, whether it was PK or any other guy. So that's what you want, you know. You know, if you give responsibility to any of the guys, they will come up and they will perform. But at the same time, the individuals in the side who never got a chance to play in the tournament, it was a long tournament, 8 games and then 3 scheduled finals, of course, we played too, but 10 matches, there was hardly any rotation of the batsmen. So then, it's very important that the guys who are not playing, you know, they take it in a good way, you know, not really think, you know, bad things or start thinking negative things, because ultimately they will get a chance to play. And I believe in giving the guys a consistent, you know, period to perform, not really like if I'm not performing in this game or a few games, then I won't be part of the team. So in a way, I believe in taking all the guys into a comfort zone and, you know, making the best atmosphere where they can perform. Until now, I've been successful.
Was that one of the first priorities for you when you became captain, the loyalty aspect? Because I remember one of the early statements you made was, I want a team that can stand before a truck. You know, that really brought out the fact that you want people to be behind you, to be able to give anything for you. And also, did it work, because you thrust responsibility onto people at the big times? I mean, Yusuf Pathan opening the batting in such a big final, Joginder Sharma, Praveen Kumar. Have you been working loyalty that way?
Well, that's one of my priorities, of course. T20 was a big stage, and the best part was nobody expected us to win. No, they thought we have never played. We just played one game before that. So nobody was really counting us. And I think there were guys, you know, who were really wanting to perform, who wanted to get into the side, or who were just out of the side. And so they wanted to get into the side. You know, they wanted their team to win. And that's what happened. You know, the guys, they performed. You know, there was some guy or the other who stood up to the task with the ball or with the bat or on the field with the runouts and all. After that, you know, we started enjoying each other's success, because that's also a thing, you know. If I score 100, of course I will enjoy it. But if your teammates start enjoying your 100, that's the time when you know you are moving in the right direction. And that's what was happening over there. And that was the start of the thing, you know. we were thirsty, we tasted victory, and we knew how it feels to be victorious and all. So after that, you know, what happens, you know. So that really worked for us, I think, you know. And after that, in the coming series, though we lost against Australia, but still we had set standards, you know. Our aggression was there. And if you see, if everything went off well, and if you would have batted a bit more, or a bit in a better way in Nagpur, then we would have leveled the series, you know. It would have looked very different. The T20 was the starting point, not from the victory point of view, but, you know, the way we performed and the way we enjoyed each other's success. And even the guys, some of the senior guys, they missed out, but, you know, their involvement was great. Everybody was coming up with ideas and everybody wanted to win each and every game. I think that was the turning point, and that's what it needed for your side.
Pressure situations like the South Africa match in T20, where you sent Rohit up the order, in fact, before he thought that you were going to go and play. Where do you gain that confidence from? Where do you derive that confidence from?
Always had faith in Rohit, and it's not like I don't have faith in anybody else, but, you know, one of the things was I wanted to go, like, in the one day, as I follow overs, in the sense I go to bat. If I fix for a series, I will bat after 20th over. Then most of the times I try to bat after 20th over. In the same way, in the T20, you know, one of the theories was to bat after the 8th over. So I can play a few overs and then I can stay till the end when the bowler is under the same kind of pressure. You know, it's not always easy to go after the bowlers and also. You have a batsman, you know, who is a stroke player, and without, you know, taking too many risks, can easily score more than a run a ball in that format of the game. You will always push him up. So that was one of the theories, and I think it worked for me. And I think Rohit also gained very valuable experience out of it, because that's the way it's going to happen. You know, whether we are playing in India or abroad, you know, at times you will see me or Yuvraj, you know, going up the batting order if there's a nice performance, you know, or a nice partnership, and, you know, if we are close to 20 or 25 overs. So, you know, if you have guys who can really, you know, bat at any number, guys like that, then it's really great. That's what happened with us when we were really doing well, when we had those 19 consecutive changes. You know, we had Yuvraj, we had me, we had various other batsmen who were willing to bat and who batted and performed at different slots. So, rather than having just a fixed batting order, we had guys who could bat at any order. You know, at times you want to keep a left-right combination on the field. It means that Yuvraj may have to bat at 5 instead of 4. So all these sorts of things, you know, they make an impact on the game. But one of the main things is how the guy takes it, you know, how the guy who has been demoted in a way takes it. You know, if he takes it in a positive way for the team, you know, it can only get better.
So how do you explain to him as a leader, being a chaplain?
Well, I keep it very simple. You know, this is the thing that I want, and that's the way it will go. So instead of, you know, going there and explaining too many things to them and, you know, really confusing yourself and confusing others, it's very important to make it very simple. You know, at the international level, you have guys who have played a lot at the domestic level or at the international level. So I don't really personally believe in, you know, expressing too many things or telling them too many things or making everything clear. They're clever enough to know what is happening and what are the demands of the game. So that's one of my theories, and I think it's working, hopefully, and it works forever.
People talk about captains leading by example. I don't know if it's connected or not, but there has been an increasing trend of you tempering your game. It's not the go out there and people think of Dhoni, they think of sixes, but it's not been that way. You are, has that had an effect as well, saying that you need to change your game as a captain? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you see, I've always done that. You know, whether it was 183 against Sri Lanka, and immediately after, in the next game in Pune, I completely changed my game, unless, you know, we were close to like 10 or 12 runs were needed, and that was the time when I went after the bowler. One of my beliefs is to, you know, play according to the situation, what the situation demands. If you need 30 odd runs to win, and if you have 45 or 70 balls, and, you know, you have 15, 20 odd runs to chase, then you don't really have to play big shots, especially when you know you are batting at 5, 6 or 7, then you know how much batting is behind you. And, you know, if you play a rash shot, then what happens is the guy who comes in, you know, it comes with his own pressure. And that I realized when we were playing Champions Trophy against, you know, England in Jaipur. So I went for a big shot, I got out, and immediately the next ball, Suresh Raina played one onto the stumps. And that time Bhaji was batting, and I think Yuvraj was batting. So that time I knew how tough it can get. So that was one of the games where I realized, unless it gets real close, I'm not going for my shots. So that was one of the learnings. And throughout cricket, you know, till whatever time you're playing cricket, if you're open-minded and if you're learning from each and every game, that really helps you.
One of the Australian famous Australian selectors we were speaking to, he said in Australia, the country cricketers, people who come from smaller places, have always been fine captains. In a way, you are India's first small town captain. Has that worked to your advantage?
Well, in a way, I believe in that, because you know, if you are from a smaller place or smaller city where cricket infrastructure is not great, then of course you have to struggle a lot. You don't get good practice facilities or excellent practice facilities. You have not played too many games on turf cricket and all those sorts of things. You know, even to get selected in your home side, you have to struggle a lot. So all of these things, they does have an impact on the guy's, you know, playing style of cricket or the way he thinks about cricket. And he is very clear about one thing, and that if he performs, then only he is going to stay there. You know, whatever happens, if you are not performing, you know, if you are from a big city or from a big place, maybe you will get a few more chances, but you have to perform. You know, it's not like the guys from the metros or big cities, they are not good enough or they are not mentally tough. But it's just one of the things is, you know, people from smaller states or smaller cities, they struggle a bit more than the guys who are from metros.
You've broken that theory that cricket has only come from the traditional footholds, like the bigger cities, whereas you come from a very small town. But was that a challenge for you to break through all this at any point of time, to come through to the first class level, to the level you've risen to now?
I think for me, even to get into my Ranji Trophy side, it was a big thing for me, you know, whatever was going around in cricket at that point of time. But fortunately, you know, we had a selector who believed in youngsters, and you know, we qualified for the under-19s that year till the final. So that time there was a big change, and all of a sudden we saw five youngsters getting into the Bihar Ranji squad. I think that was a start. And after that, you know, if you're playing, like Bihar was considered a small state, then for you to be a part of the zonal team, and especially to, you know, be in the 11, it gets a bit tough. You have to perform consistently for that. So every stage, you know, wherever you are playing, it gets a bit tough for you. You have to be very consistent and you get a chance. But for me, being a wicketkeeper really helped me. You know, I was a wicketkeeper, and the only guy you compete with is other wicketkeepers. So in your zone, you actually compete with four other guys. So that really helped me. And of course, I believed in performance. You know, I never looked up on the newspaper or picked newspaper to see whether I got selected for the Dilip Trophy or Deodar Trophy, you know, games or matches or East Zones. So for me, it was more about playing cricket, enjoying cricket. And I knew, okay, if I'm good enough, I'll get a chance. For that, I have to be consistent. In my mind, I was very clear. If they don't give me a chance to play for Dilip or Deodar Trophy, doesn't really matter. I'm happy playing for my state. And if I can play consistently well for my state, that's good enough for me, because I loved playing cricket more than anything else.
You talked about the system being different back then around that time, and he shared a story about you sometime turning up for railways and just getting like making some facing three balls.
And you got rejected by railways.
I don't know the exact year, you know, that trials was held in Railway Stadium, the Narayana Singh Stadium. And before that year, I think railways had done really well, so I went up there and I was part of the trials. I played a few balls, I kept wickets, and I was turned down. You know, I was said like, whatever, nothing was said to me, or whatever happened. Then I came back. It never really bothered me. You know, the only thing was later on when I got a call, you know, when I got selected for the Dilip Trophy and all, I went for India. After that, I got a call from the railways, and they invited me to play for the railway team. So I said, no, I'm not coming. And that's what happened. Maybe I was rude or whatever, but you know, after that, it had a big impact on me as well. You know, I got more determined to, you know, I wanted to be there. You know, be at a level where you're performing consistently well and you're recognized by everyone.
Look, by the fact that all your experiences, your fact that you've come from where you've come from, what you've gone through, you've seen how it is, how tough it is to even make it to a Ranji Trophy set. There's all that apart from this experience that you just took. There's all this brought together the fact that players have to be given an extended chance. I mean, you just cannot keep chopping and changing. You need that settled side. I mean, even the classic case of a few cases in the CB series, when irrespective of what was happening, you said that this person will play all games. I mean, is that partly because of it?
Well, you know what? In one game, you cannot really decide whether a guy is good or bad. You know, if a guy scores in one game, you cannot say he's excellent, and if he doesn't, then he's not really good, because one of the things is, you know, if a guy is part of the India A side or, you know, the Challenger Trophy and all, if he doesn't really perform, then all of a sudden we say, no, he's not really of that international standard, you know. But most of the guys in the past, they have proved it wrong, in the sense they have come back, you know, they have struggled again, they came back and they have performed. So I don't really believe in one game or in one series you can judge whether a guy is good or bad. But this is one thing that will go on, you know, you can't really change it because of the amount of, you know, cricket we play and the amount of competition that is around, you know, the amount of people performing and also. It gets really tough, but, you know, at the same time, I think a fair enough chance should be given to individuals.
That brings us to the end of the first part of the interview. Thank you for joining us. And to get to know more about Dhoni, please join us for the second part. This is Siddhartha Vaidyanathan, signing off for Cricket Info Talk.
This is Cricket Info Talk.